The Royal Banking Commission is underway, and what has been revealed by some banks is truly startling. Or what has not been revealed is also quite interesting. Joining us to discuss the commission and other issues in federal politics is Ben Elpham from independent journalist website New Matilda. Good morning, Ben.
Good morning.
So what have been the latest developments from the Banking Royal Commission?
There's been some extraordinary testimony this week, particularly from representatives of AMP and the Commonwealth Bank. Explosive testimony by the AMP's former head of advice, Jack Regan, who told the commission earlier this week that AMP had repeatedly lied to the regulator, ASIC.
Now, I didn't actually hear much about this when you said it was earlier this week. I haven't actually heard much about it in the news. Why do you think that is?
Well, the business press has been covering it pretty carefully. If you pick up a copy of the Australian Financial Review, you'll find it's front page news. It's very, very explosive revelations indeed, and it could indeed foreshadow criminal charges against the board and senior executives of AMP. What we're talking about here is the so-called fees for no service scandal. AMP and a number of the big banks had been offering to give financial advice to clients over the course of many years, but what had happened is they'd stopped giving them that advice and still were charging them fees. That's why we're calling it fees for no service.
So that's from the AMP, and the Commonwealth Bank, members of the Commonwealth Bank have been in trouble as well for their testimony recently. Can you tell us a bit about that?
Yes, the Commonwealth Bank also had to admit that they were the gold medalists for this. They've paid back more than $180 million to clients. But I don't think it's quite as serious as the AMP revelations, because what we learnt from the AMP is that, in fact, what had happened was that the AMP board had, in fact, lied to the regulator. They'd prepared a so-called independent report from lawyers Clayton Utz, and then before submitting that to ASIC, they'd actually changed many of the details of the report. Now, that could potentially implicate the AMP in criminal proceedings, and ASIC has already put out a release, and indeed Treasurer Scott Morrison has made a statement about it. So it's very, very explosive revelations indeed.
What are the potential ramifications of this? You mentioned, I think it was something with the board could be implicated in all this as well. What could be like the potential ramifications or possible fines and consequences for the board?
Well, it could be worse than fines. It could be jail time if they were convicted of this. I mean, this is very serious. ASIC is the financial regulator. They are the cop on the beat, and these guys lied to them. They gave false evidence. Now, in many jurisdictions, and including with ASIC, that's illegal, and that could attract criminal penalties, including jail time. And we're talking about some of the most prominent figures in Australian business here. Catherine Brenner, the chairwoman of AMP, is also a director of Coca-Cola Amatil. She's also on the board of the Sydney Opera House. So she's a captain of industry. She's paid millions and millions of dollars a year. So these are breathtaking revelations, and they really go to the heart of just how corrupt Australia's financial system has become.
Do you think this most recent scandal will be the most shocking news to come out of this commission?
Well, who can tell? It's been one revelation after another over the course of what is an inquiry that's really just getting started. We've already heard about widespread mortgage fraud. So mortgage brokers lying about people's income in order to get loans from banks. We've already heard about these revelations from AMP about the fees for no service. I mean, who knows what's coming next?
I'm surprised we're getting so much information considering that the government was so against this commission for a while, and it was only pushes by the big banks that have actually led to this commission. How is so much information pouring out?
Well, it's an extraordinary turn of events, isn't it? So what happened is, remember that, yes, that's right, the Royal Commission had been pushed by Labor in opposition for many years. It had been brought on by repeated scandals in the banks, things like CommInsure, which was the scandal of fraud in the Commonwealth Bank, and the bank bill swap fraud that many of the major banks have been involved in. There's been a string of scandals over the last decade. Eventually, the banks caved in and said, yes, let's have a royal commission. Really, they were trying to forestall a worse outcome, I think, were Labor to be elected. So the government agreed to a royal commission. They tried to keep it as mild as possible in terms of its remit and its legal ramifications, but it appears that the financial sector is so rotten that as soon as you start digging in, it's like a house full of termites. Pretty much the floorboards give way and the whole structure collapses. So I expect that we will see more revelations as the Royal Commission continues.
I'm speaking with Ben Eltham from New Matilda about the big issues in federal politics. There's been some discussion in Adelaide recently about the proposed electoral redistribution, which could see Port Adelaide taken off the map. Now, why was this electorate picked to be axed?
That's a good question. So the Australian Electoral Commission redistributes periodically every few years to try and make sure the Australian electoral boundaries marry up to the population. So South Australia has been losing people compared to some of the bigger states. Victoria's had its population growing quite strongly, and Victoria's going to add an electorate in the lower house. There can only be 150 electorates in the lower house, so someone's got to lose an electorate, and that's unfortunately South Australia. So after looking at all the boundaries, the AEC has decided to abolish Port Adelaide, which is, of course, Mark Butler's electorate, a high-profile ALP frontbencher, a Labor shadow minister for energy and the environment. So Mark Butler will be looking for a new place to run.
If the ALP was to lose a seat, though, it would be going to Victoria, which has some Greens and Labor dominance. Do you see the opposition still gaining some ground there?
Yes, that's exactly what it looks like will happen. Labor will lose a seat in South Australia, Port Adelaide, and so Labor will probably lose a seat altogether there. But in Victoria, a new seat is going to be created in Western Melbourne, and that's likely to be a Labor seat. So there'll be a lot of jockeying around pre-selection going on in Labor in both of those states. Obviously, Butler's got to find a new place, and there's a whole new opportunity opening up in Victoria.